Blog Talk Radio.
This particular song right here is dedicated to the black woman, and it doesn't pertain to all black women. Some of y'all disrespect yourself because you don't know who you are in the first place. This is out of common respect for all women, period. Well, like this song. Yo, I'm quite single and occasionally I mingle. But aside from all the rest, she sparks my interest. No ma'am, I don't know you. Just offering the common respect, I feel I owe you. Also, some conversation, companionship, common ground and common sense. There's no such thing as coincidence in me finding you here. And I really hate screaming in your ear. So some other time, okay? I waited a day. Hello, this is Carlito from a couple of days ago. You sound tired. Forgive me if I've called you too late. But what better time to relate my state? Where could I begin? Has anyone ever told you got beautiful skin? You're more than welcome. What do you desire within? I just wanna be. There's no need to put titles on you and me. Those are limitations. Living and learning are our only obligations. Equality, honesty, independence, intelligence, emotion and devotion. Humbly seeking to hear God when he's speaking. At one time my mind just couldn't conceive. A woman had to dress a certain way to believe. But in the same breath, allow me to say that if you believe, young lady, you wouldn't dress that way. And I was attracted to your class. I couldn't see all your ass, and I was very content. You deserved every compliment. Now, remember how indifferences make us the same. You gotta have the game, or you ain't even gonna be able to take care of yourself. And love, when I look at you, I see my reflection. So I offer my love, affection, and protection. Shout it. You dance fine, but the bottom line is, you still my sister.
Make it in my head.
Saw you again on Marietta, downtown Atlanta, checking your long legs. Got me smirking, fixed me dinner one night. Candles lit, kinda thought you was slick in the beginning, but it turned out you wouldn't lie. Looked me in my eye, I listened, stucked it up, pushed on, we made amends. Both sides clicked, true friends. Since then, years ain't gone by. Brought a baby girl into this world, made our parents grand folks. Household with no pope. Took care of ye, you, me. When she got put out on the curb, closer than the skin on the back of my hand. Through the thick and thin, we can win. Beautiful black skin.
Welcome to Sister Awareness Radio Show. Thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight we're going to continue the discussion on how U.S. Afro-descendants will secure immediate self-determination, the release of all of our political prisoners, immediate reparations, guarantees of non-repetition, land and property rights, a legal, economic, and political partition. Also, we will focus on security, authority transfers, and the geopolitical implications of U.S. Afro-descendants' national liberation movement. What I'm going to do, I have about three callers that are on the board. I'm going to say the last four digits of your phone number, and when I do, just please state your name, city, and state that you're calling from. Caller with the last four digits 6367, will you please state your name and the city and the state that you're calling from? Last four digits 6367. I'm going to move on. Caller with the last four digits 6209, will you please state your name, city, and the state that you're calling from?
I'm Lonnie Davidson from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Wonderful. Greetings. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Miss Elena?
So far, so good. Good to hear from you, Lonnie.
Okay. Thank you.
Last four digits, 1758. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
I'm Inata Koyita, Phoenix, Arizona.
Greetings.
Hello.
Last four digits, 1478. Will you please state your name, the city, and the state that you're calling from?
My name is Lily Shiloh, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas. And it's a pleasure to be on with you, Sister Elena, for Sister Awareness.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tonight we have several topics that we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss, I believe, Brother Lonnie, he did send me a message with a picture in it, but I was unable to access the pic. So I'm going to let Brother Lonnie, and it seems like it's an emergency situation. So I'm going to bring Brother Lonnie in and let Brother Lonnie describe what's going on. But Brother Lonnie, I do see another caller, and I want to bring that caller in before you get started. So I'm going to call this person out to state their name and the city and state that they're calling from. And then I want you to tell us, because it appears that there's an emergency there, but I couldn't access that pic that you sent me.
Okay.
Caller, with the last four digits, 3014, will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Deshaun Hall. I'm from Westland, Michigan.
Thank you, Deshaun, for calling. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Brother Lonnie, will you please describe what was going on in that picture, what's going on, incident, or is there a violation? Just describe what's going on.
Okay, yesterday at about 4 p.m. at the Oklahoma County Detention Center, some inmates on the 10th floor, they were like a DOC, on the DOC pod, they took a guard hostage. And it ended with one of the inmates getting shot in the head and killed. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was yesterday. Yeah, that's what those. And they. Go ahead.
So you're stating that there was a hostage crisis. We have not heard anything in the news about that. Please go ahead and finish telling us about the incident.
Yeah, the inmates, they was facing deplorable conditions in the county jail. Like, you know, they had been without running water, had been without, it was basically, it's a condemned building, basically. So anyway, I guess they got fed. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'll put you on mute. I was just, this is Sister Lily, and I'm so shocked. This is insane.
Yeah, they, they had been, you know, it's been a lot of deaths in that prison. And it's crazy. I mean, not prison, but county jail. So I guess the inmates got fed up, and during pill call, they overpowered the guard, tied him up, took his keys, and left some of the other inmates out. And while they took his cell phone, and they were streaming it live. But it was a protest going on the outside by, like, a couple of criminal justice reform groups. So they was negotiating the freedom of the guard, and they was talking to the sheriffs and everything. So they sent a tactical team in, the sheriffs did, and with one of the inmates shot in the head.
Were they white prisoners or a mixture?
Tell me
about that.
Yeah, they were Afro descendant prisoners. Yeah, and on that, go ahead.
All of these were black prisoners.
Well, the ones that you could see in the video were, and the one that got killed was a black prisoner, and the one that took him hostage was a black prisoner.
Black prisoner. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm listening. Keep going.
Yeah, so, and again, they took him, they had him, you know, they didn't harm the guard or anything, you know, they had him tied up, and they were handcuffed, and they had him down on his knees, and then they was live streaming it, telling people about the conditions. They were showing the conditions in the cell. They hadn't had any running water for 2 weeks, so they had been in the cell 2 weeks. I'm talking about no running water, toilets, or anything. And so it's a known fact that the conditions in that county jail are deplorable. So anyway, I guess they got fed up, took him hostage, opened up other cell doors, and was streaming it live and everything. And then they sent the tactical unit in, and one of the guys got shot in the head. Yeah, they left him in there, too. After they took the guard out, he was still laying on the floor 20 minutes later.
Brother Lana, this is Sister Lily Shiloh. I don't know if you and I are you. I don't know if you have a social media platform or if you have a Facebook, but I would love to, if you are not my friend on Facebook, to go ahead and add me. I would love for you also to send me whatever video you sent her, Sister Elena. I would love to expose this information on my platform. It's a worldwide platform. This type of behavior has to be highlighted about the United States, because as you have said, none of this has hit the media. Nobody knows anything about it. If they keep these types of acts under wraps in this country, and it needs to be exposed. We have to let the world know that this is not what the greatest country in the world is supposed to look like.
That's the problem. It's not the greatest country in the world. What the United States has done, and it has hidden behind all of that flowery language in their constitution and flowery language and bullshit that they've been selling around the world. And now it's surfacing. But what has to be done, Brother Lonnie, is those entities, those organizations, need to stop all that damn protesting and get into behind these desks and start filing international complaints against the United States. The reason why we're treated in the manner that we're treated is because the world believes and thinks that we're okay over here. I know this for a fact because I've had the opportunity to talk to some ambassadors and people internationally who really think that we are living in, you know, in this great, great society when we're not, and that we're treated with respect when we're not. We are not. We are in the most dangerous part of history. We don't even know the danger that we're in. These last 4 years with Donald Trump, we don't really realize or recognize how close we came to genocide. Had that man got another 4 years, it wasn't off the table that he could genocide us out. Trust me. I know, and I'm not just saying this to be speaking out of turn. I'm telling you what I know. There were so many murders within this past 4 years that has not even been publicized. So in just like this case that you're describing to us with these inmates, that prison riot, I haven't seen anything in the news. We haven't heard anything about the conditions of the prison in that area. So I appreciate what you've done. I'm going to look into it. But I just want to go over, because we have Sister Aminata. Sister Aminata, is it okay if I share the profession that you're in, or you want to keep that pretty much on the down low?
I work in law enforcement. Let's just leave it at that right there.
Okay. All right. So, Sister Aminata, we've been friends for a moment, and she's very, very concerned about the situation in the criminal justice system, and she expresses that. And that is another reason why I invited her to the Pendo Center for Human Rights and Self-Determination, because we shun our professionals, okay? We have to have allies amongst ourselves regardless of what uniform they wear, what religion they wear. If they have that same goal of freedom and liberation for our people, we have to build relationships and bridges.
Not all black people who are in law enforcement are our enemies. They're our spooks who sit by the door, okay? So they need a place to come and feel safe and talk about some of the things that they go through. They need support just like we need support from them. They go to those jobs, work from 9 to 5, and they see the horrors, and they don't even have nobody to talk to about it. Just like that brother in Louisiana who took a bullet, shot himself because he was so overwhelmed of what was going on, he felt like he didn't have no way out. He felt like he betrayed his people, but all he was doing was trying to feed his family. We have a right to a career. Our professionals have a right to a career, and we can't keep shunning them and punishing them because they chose a profession that happens to be dominated by white supremacists. So what we have to do is educate them, make them feel welcome, and put them in a place where they have a stake in our liberation as well. And Sister Aminata, I really appreciate you joining us today. Now I'm going to talk I'm going to talk about the rules that has been violated in this case, because I use this platform, the Sister Awareness Radio Show, to teach about international and human rights law. A lot of people can't afford coursework and don't have the time for a lot of coursework. So what I do is I brief people, just give like a little brief synopsis on the rules that was violated. So when you all have an opportunity, I want you to go and Google the UN standard, minimum rules for the treatment of prisoners. If you have a pen and paper, please write this down. UN standard minimum rules for the treat prisoners. I would also like you to write down the international standards penal reform for international, international penal reform. Write down the Nelson Mandela rules. Also, there are international standards that forbid all forms of torture. It appears by the fact, I was not there, I don't know, I am not an attorney, but just based on what the brother has explained to us what happened, they did not harm the guard that they had taken hostage, but yet someone was shot in the head. So the torture convention could have been violated. I don't know. I wasn't there. I just saw the footage, but I'm just saying. So these are some of the international human rights laws that have been violated. Also, the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights applies to penal reform. Make note of those rules and regulations that has been violated. Also, I pulled up the notes and comments on the United Nations standards, and it talks about the practice and the treatment of prisoners and the management of institutions. And also, Google the Declaration of the Tokyo Guidelines as well. Okay? Am I going too fast? And if you need me to slow down or repeat something, don't be afraid to tell me, okay? Just say, hey, slow down. But these are the international laws that appears to have been violated. Also,
Sister Porter, if you could, I'm sorry to interrupting you, but if you could, the Declaration of the Tokyo Guidelines, is that what you said?
Yes, it's called the Tokyo Convention. It's in Guideline 5 of the Declaration of Tokyo Guidelines for Physicians Concerning Torture. So it's the Tokyo Convention. It's also concerning prisoners' rights. And once we end the show, I'm going to try to post something about that.
Thank you.
Okay. These are very important rules that we all should be aware of, because how many of our family members end up going to jail? How many? I know I've had my bout where I've went before, you know?
Yep.
These are things we need to know. Now, when you see these violations occur, anyone can contact the Human Rights Committee. You can advocate for your family members' rights, okay? You don't need an attorney to do everything, because according to international human rights law, each treaty body has a quasi-judicial committee that you can write to and request assistance. Now, they're not going to be as effective all the time, but we have to start reaching out internationally. Because when we're quiet and we depend on the offender, which is the United States, to remedy these harms, we're doing ourselves a disservice, and it looks like we're happy with our lot when we're not contacting these different agents, international agencies, and filling them in about what's going on in these areas. Brother Lonnie, is there anything else you need to share? How would you like to respond to what I just said?
You're exactly right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, you're exactly right. Cause, I mean, people going to jail, Oklahoma County for traffic tickets and end up dying, like, because, you know, lack of medical attention. So it's a lot of things going on, and I'm probably sure around the whole nation. And also I want to say to the law enforcement official that's on, hey, we need law enforcement officials, you know. We need law and order, so you are not an enemy, so I want you to know that. And everybody don't look at black law enforcement officials or any law enforcement official as enemies. You know, you got the good and bad in anything. So, but the prisons and the jails need to be cleaned up, and the number one problem is the staff members. And, you know, because, you know, criminals have been doing criminal things for thousands of years. So it's no different. They've been doing the same thing. But when you got lackadaisical staff members, it's a major problem.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And also the prison
when they don't follow the rules, nobody follows the rules. So, you know, and, you know, dealing with, you know, we got drugs, we got weapons in prison. And most of the time, you know, prisons don't leave the compound. So there's only one way everything gets in. Okay, so however you look at it, it's the members that cause the problem. So,
that's true.
You know, cell phones and everything. Inmates don't go to Walmart, so you know how they get in. So we understand that. So sometimes that's needed. That's the only way the truth can get out from prison is those ways. So. You know, and I agree with you, too, about the protesters. Right now, the Oklahoma sheriffs and the police department are blaming the protesters for the event that happened yesterday. So they're going to have to be prepared to see when you take upon this fight, you got to realize what could happen. You know what I mean?
That's true. That is so true. That's so true, Brother Lonnie. And the sad thing about it, Brother Lonnie, is that regardless of those protesters, that's a sensitive area anyway when you have people who are confined. I know situations where people have had people advocating for them on the outside, person have been beaten daily because of, you know, the way that someone was advocating for them on the outside. So when we advocate for prisoners, we have to be very careful because the prisoners can be retaliated against. I'm going to look into this particular issue and validate some of the information and validate this picture and see is there any organizations, human rights organizations, that will be willing to address this situation. I do know there's a brother here on Facebook. His name is Max Prather. He is a modern 21st century abolitionist. He's about getting rid of that 13th Amendment, and he also fights for prisoners' rights. His name is Max Prather, and he's a very, very approachable brother, and I'm sure he has some organizations that he can also, you know, share this information that you just disseminated us with and see what can be done, because those are horrendous conditions. There was a video that I had posted this week about how different different prisons are built on. They build those prisons in horrible conditions. They get the cheapest land. They use the most awful food. And at the end of the day, most of the people that end up there that look like us, it's a political situation of economic deprivation that lands us there, okay? So we're going to have to start looking at this prison system for what it is. That's why one of the factors in reparations I call for is an authority transfer. We need our own criminal justice system to deal with our people. We don't need the offender to be dealing with our people. We need to be in control of our own criminal justice system, our own prison system, our own juvenile justice system. Why should we have people that's the reason basically why most of our people are there
are because of economic crimes. So why should they be the one to divvy out the punishment? We should be divvying out our own punishment. So we're going to have to start looking at sovereign solutions, self-determining solutions for our own problems. And with that, I'm going to yield the floor for anyone who would like to respond. Next, we're going to move on to our next topic of discussion for today. Sister Aminata expressed to me concern about the sex trafficking that's going on out in Arizona. Horrendous here in Georgia as well. Matter of fact, it's going on all over the United States. It involves women and it involves children. Okay?
Yep, that's right.
Okay? It's so bad where I know for a fact a reputable source told me that in Atlanta, they are luring young males on the guys that they're coming to get a rap deal, and at the end of the day, they're bending them over the sofa. Okay? They're drugging them. The next thing you know, they're violated. No rap deal. Okay? And they're afraid and ashamed to share this information because it happened to them because of their manhood. It's real. It's affecting us as a people, and I'm going to yield the floor to Sister Aminata so she can share her findings on what's going on that she's comfortable enough to talk about. She don't have to reveal any sources, but just tell us about what's going on in Arizona and how we can help deal with the issue.
So what I found out is going on here, for many people that may not know, Arizona is located in the southwest part of the country, border with Mexico. And there's a lot of all kind of trafficking going on here just because we're on the border by Mexico. But what I found alarming was the percentage of African-American or black women and children, girls and boys, that are being trafficked compared to the percentage of the population that we represent. So basically what I learned is that just across the country in general, we are at the highest risk and at the highest percentage of trafficked victims across the country and here in Arizona. And the last time I checked, which has been a few years ago, we represented maybe 13 or 14% of the population in the United States, but we're up over 50% of the victims that are trafficked. That's not proportionate at all. And out here in Arizona, we're even smaller. We're only like 6 or 7% of the population, but like 45%, I believe they said, of those that are being trafficked. So I found those statistics very alarming. It looks like we're being targeted. And what I researched on that was I found a couple of articles that stated that we are targeted by these traffickers because they know that kidnapping and selling black people, if you get caught, the punishment is less. So that's why they target us, because the fear of punishment is decreased when the person is somebody from our community. So that had me heated. So I think that needs to be addressed, and that we need to sound the alarm and let our people know, because many people don't even know that how dangerous it is. All of us have heard the stories of the women that come up missing and they've never heard of again. Well, this is what's happening to them. They're being trafficked.
And also, sister, they're very discriminatory with the Amber Alert. A couple of years back, I had found an article where the Amber Alert was not used proportional. You know, you very rarely see Amber Alerts for black children. So that's an issue too. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is we have to take control of ourselves. We need a government. If we had our own government with our own policing, we wouldn't have this issue. If you want to get rid of prison violence, you control it yourself. We're 48 million strong here in the United States. We should be governing ourselves. We should be policing ourselves. We should have our own security apparatus. And those are some of the things that we're working on here at the Pendo Center for Human Rights and Self-Determination. We're going into nationhood. Reparations, the first piece to reparations before anybody asks for a funky, lousy dollar should be liberation, recognition that we are a nation of people, recognition that our sovereignty was displaced. Whether we were enslaved on the continent, whether our ancestors were enslaved on that continent in 1492, or whether they were enslaved on the land right here, our ancestors derived from a sovereign people, and they had no right to displace that sovereignty. Sovereignty is the highest aspiration of political freedom anyone could aspire to want. And we have to put ourselves on equal footing and see ourselves as a self-governing people, as a nation. Without that, any discussion for reparation is just null and void. And with that, I yield the floor to anyone who would like to respond to that comment.
I agree 100% with what you said. I think a lot of the problem is we're not even seen as people.
True.
We're seen as inhuman or something. We're not seen as people. And they've done a very good job with the propaganda and programming us to not even respect ourselves.
That's right.
Our job is going to be first to correct the flawed thinking that we have about ourselves and learn to love ourselves so that we can come out here and demand and take what belongs to us, because right now I think a lot of our people don't even feel that we're worthy. They're complacent, they're comfortable, and they think that what they're going through is just normal, so why even try to change it? And that's very sad.
That's right, Sister Aminata. And I'm going to tell you something else. We have normalized human rights violations against us. Every time we have a discussion, go ahead, who's that who's making a comment?
That was me.
That's right. You think it's normal.
That's true. We normalize the human rights violations against us. We minimize our own humanity. Anytime I have a conversation about our human rights, and especially with some European people, they'll bring up the Native Americans and we don't have to have no discussion with them. We're not trying to exercise any dominion over them. They want to partner with us? Yes, we'll partner with them. We'll partner with the Chicanos, the Mexicans, and any other nationality. But right now, in the 21st century, our behinds is on the line. We've got to do something right now. The United States had several options to deal with their Negro problem, but the option that they choose, they choose to use violence, and they choose to use state-sponsored terrorism instead of coming to the table with us and negotiating a way to resolve this conflict. We have taken so many hits. The war on drugs, a hit. Mass incarceration, a hit. And with those hits come trauma. They are not just traumatizing those individual people, okay? They're traumatizing entire families, entire communities, okay? So we have to put our humanity on the same footing as Europeans or any other nationality or group, okay? That is going to be our challenge. We're going to have to get our own people to buy in that your humanity is on the same footing as any other nationality here or even that settler that's part of the government here in the United States. We have to quit normalizing torture. We got to quit normalizing modern-day slavery, because that's all sex trafficking is, okay? They did the same thing in the 1800s, 1600s, 1400s to black women. We've always been victims of sexual violence, always. So at some point, okay, we're going to have a complete campaign to say no, this is enough. You will not continue to dehumanize us. We're not animals, and we're not going to continue to normalize mass human rights violations, okay? This is what has to happen. We have young girls as young as 13 and 14 years old. I posted a article, Pendle Center, in my Pendle Centers for Human Rights in the group, and it was about this guy who had sex trafficked over 600 and something black women as young as 13 and gave them AIDS. Okay.
Yep.
And I don't think he's gonna get much. I don't think he's gonna get much time for it. Go ahead, my dear. Go ahead.
Ms. Elena, this is Lily Shiloh, and I just wanted to chime in on this. I'm listening to this conversation, and I guess because we are all so desensitized to the genocide and the apartheid that is occurring to us, when you use those terms, genocide or apartheid, concerning Black America looks back at you with incredulity, or as if they don't understand what you mean, and that is because we have been given what they call, creature comforts. Many of us are living in comfortable captivity, and so it does us no good, in my opinion, to take on any one specific area of apartheid behavior, because rape is a part of the culture of enslavement. And so whenever you have a people who are in captivity or enslaved, they are used at the dispense of whoever is governing that people. This is why Cuba fought so hard. Fidel fought so hard to keep America out. He preferred to live without the luxuries of Western civilization rather than to have his people devoured by this predator. If you look up the word predator, and I share this on my social media page constantly so that it does jolt people awake from the ideology of normalizing an apartheid state. If you look up the word predator, and I'm going to look it up now just so I can read it accurately for everyone, but there are two definitions of the word, and the second definition is the one that I show people all the time, because it specifically discusses what's happening to us in the United States. It says it is a person or a group. Let me say that sort of. The second definition of the word predator is a person or group that ruthlessly exploits others. Now, if you look at what's happening to us in the prison industrial complex, if you look at what's happening to us in the dumbing down of this population, not only the black population, but the white population, all populations in this country are dumbed down in education, so that we are not aware not only of our rights, but so that we are not aware of what behavior constitutes predatory, is predatory in nature. And then once you do determine that this particular subgroup, Black America, is being preyed upon, it is normalized by the simple fact that we've always been considered for many generations three-fifths of a human being. So no one has any value for our people, not even our people. And how do you fix that? And I love Dr. Amos Wilson and some of the other sociologists and psychologists that have given us great information to pave the way to fix what's wrong in our community. However, that's going to be a process that's going to take years. It's not going to be able to be done overnight. So we can't do anything about these people out here who are succumbing or who succumb to the naturalization of this culture that we live in. All we can do is separate ourselves from that, build upon that, and I love that movie, Field of Dreams. If we build it, they will come. And how do you say that? I never remember how to say it. How do you? I give back the floor to the people. How do you say that?
I yield the floor.
I yield the floor.
Wonderful. And what's a wonderful, wonderful definition, and I appreciate that, because like I said, you know, a lot of us don't have time to be in class or whatever have you, and the reason that we have the Sister Awareness Radio Show is that we can inform people and we can talk about different concepts and terms and human rights and international law and different things that apply to us. You may not change everybody, but we want to educate people and give them the tools to deal with these everyday situations. Now, what Brother Lonnie described, that could have been my son that was shot in the head. That could have been my uncle. It could have been my nephew. It could have been me. So I have to have empathy. We have to have empathy for each other. And with that, I have two callers that I need to bring in. And I'm going to bring them in now, and then we're going to continue the conversation. Caller with the last
good
one,
evening.
6040.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hey, Sister Leilana. How you doing? My name is Daniel Guthrie, Sr., Human Rights Policy Officer with the I Unite Movement. Thank you, and everything we're doing here is so important. And every little bit you give them, let me say this. I heard you mention that, you know, everyone don't have time to sit in the class for us, you know, so long, this and that. But every little tidbit of information you give them, it still helps. Believe me. That's what I've learned just from your short conversations and being on your program and talking to you and communicating. I've learned a lot. So it's going in. But like you said, the people don't have to want to be acceptable to it, you know, and understand how serious this really is, and that, you know, you might be comfortable now, but what are you going to be tomorrow? Thank you.
That's right. That's right, brother. And we're going to come back to you because I want you to give us an update on what's going on in Detroit, because I support Brother Ramzu. I support the movement in Detroit. I support everything that you all are doing. And I do want you to share with the audience and how they can register, how they can become a part of what's going on in Detroit, and how they can be a part of the movement. Because, Brother Ramzu, you all are our Confederates. Y'all are part of the National Liberation Movement, and it's official. We file those documents.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to bring this caller in with the last four digits, 6883. Caller with the last four digits, 6883. Please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from. Caller with the last four digits, 6883.
Shalom, shalom. This is Sister Terry in Virginia. How are you doing today?
Greetings, Sister Terry. Welcome to Sister Awareness, and we're honored to have you on our show. You don't have to be shy. We're well-behaved here, and we welcome everyone that joined us. We welcome your input and any concerns or anything you want to share about your area. So thank you for joining us. also. And we will
come.
You're quite
welcome. Thank you.
Is this Brother Tracy's wife?
No.
Okay, all right. Because I do have a couple that calls in that's part of the movement as well. But thank you for joining us, and don't be shy, and welcome to the family. So, Brother Daniel,
thank you for your work.
I got to pick on you. Tell us about what's going on in Detroit.
Okay, thank you, Sister Elena. And like I said, welcome everyone. Well, right at this moment, we're still moving forward. We're putting more hardware and software together to get people to better be able to get in, because we've been having some issues. I don't want to say too much, but we've been having issues where they've been shutting some of our sites down. It was down for a day. We brought it back up, and because we was having, you know, lots of people were signing on, and I guess they got noticed that, you know, we was getting a heavy, you know, impact on the sites, especially with the X virus, you know, and, you know, what we're doing with it, with the X virus commercials that we have available to help fight this coronavirus, or actually help defeat this coronavirus. So that really shook them up a little bit. But just to give a little, I guess you would call it a plug, you know, you can go to xvirus.life and look it up and see what's going on, see what the formula is, see how well researched it is, and see that it does work. But and with that being said, we got the site back up. So the websites are iunite.app, iunite.app. That's for all the folks who want to sign up and help us move this forward. There's one thing just for the $100,000 value grant that's going to be administered from once we take control of our self-determination, I should say, once we take self-determination in our hands. But more comes with that. But we need people to help facilitate the movement. We need people to make sure that they're signed up, registered as policy officers, registered as council members. So when this happens, that once we get Detroit settled, then we can go move on to the next city. Because once it happens, it's going to metastasize. People are going to, you know, realize that self-determination is the only way to go, you know, to make it happen immediately. But as you guys are doing, you're putting the papers in so they will understand and recognize and know what we're doing. That way we have international law along with what we're doing on the ground. So that's, I appreciate that. But we're definitely moving forward. And like I said, we're getting more people signed on. We're going to have more sites coming up. We're working on a brand new program right now as we speak, you know, that they can't interfere anymore. So, you know, that's where we're at. We don't talk about a lot, but that's where we're at right now.
Wonderful, wonderful.
This is Sister Lily. I'm sorry, Brother Daniel. This is Sister Lily. So are you saying the World Reset site? That
hold on. There's some feet. There's some. Hold on, Sister Lily. Hold on. Someone, whoever has that noise in the background, will you please mute your line? Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to ask Brother Daniel.
Yes.
The WorldReset.money website, is that site been tampered with? Do we need to go to a different – are you saying just use the iUnite.app for now on for a minute?
No, World Reset is also back up. It's back up. We got them all back up. It just took them all day to get them back up, but we got them back up. That's World Reset plus iUnite. WorldReset.money. And thank you for reminding me. WorldReset.money. That you can go to also to sign up. And you have iUnite.app also, you know, you go to the sign up. They both interchange. And then you got xvirus.life also to look that over and see what we have. But, yeah, they've been messing with us, but we're trying to defeat them. But, you know, we're working with a zero to no budget. You know, even though we have a Cash App site up for donations, it's not coming in too strong. But I'm doing what I can. You know, I invest a lot into it, not bragging. It's just that somebody got to do it.
Send me that site as well, please.
Okay. I don't have the site. Let me see. I don't have it pulled up.
No, not now.
Because
not
I don't.
Now.
Okay. Yeah, because you never know who's listening.
Yeah, yes. You told me. Send it to me when you get a chance, and I'll be sure to plug it on my site and on my platform as much as possible. I don't want to donate as well.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you. But it's gone great. But we just, like we say, just July 4th, you know, all roads lead to Detroit. We get everyone there, and we're even, and I also wanted to say, I thank you for everything you're doing, you guys are doing, Sister Elena and Sister Lily, and, you know, Sister Candida, you're involved, and all the folks involved trying to get these charges taken away from Grandmaster Jay and the NFHC. Thank you, because people have quieted down about it. They're not in the streets like they should be, and I keep pushing it every chance I get to get it out there, and I've been talking to people because this, all of this coincides together. It's all a part of the one big movement, so we have to remember that all of this involves us. So that, you know, and I know some folks,
It's like brother Ramzu, it's like a big old machine. Sister Aminata is going to be part of the Pendo Center for Human Rights and Self-Determination, and she's going to do great things in Arizona. So if you run into any allies from Arizona, send them our way, because we got Oklahoma in the house, we got Detroit in the house, and we're trying to bring in Arizona in the house. They got a big sex trafficking issue out there, but we got to build capacity for Arizona. So welcome, Sister Aminata. She's also going to be considering being part of the National Liberation Movement. I did share with her, it is an official movement. We are in an official National Liberation status. Now, there is funding available for National Liberation movements like ourselves. National Liberation is the precursor to nationhood. And because our people, and it's not that I'm trying to take away from the nation and the administrative procedures that we've already filed, it's the fact of the matter is it's unfair to have people come into a nation and we haven't educated them about their human rights and what they're entitled to. For example, in Chicago, right now they got a reparations on the table. But guess how much they're talking about giving these people? $25,000, $40,000. What is that going to do? You can't pay your bills for 6 months with $25,000. That ain't no money.
Right, and that's Evanston. I think it's Evanston, Illinois. I was up in Chicago when I heard that. Evanston, Illinois.
Yes. That's a disgrace. And see, what that really, really and truly, those are pennies on the dollar, what is owed to those people in Chicago, specifically in Chicago, for all of that property when they've come in and taken roads through different communities. They've come in.
Yes, breaking them
up. In some of those communities, it was a lot of pollution. Okay, then they exercised eminent domain. That was generational wealth that they took from those people. That property was generational wealth. So who is going to sign up for $25,000? And then the first act of reparation is liberation. How you going to skip over liberating people in that county? Come on now. How you going to skip over them governing themselves to getting them $25,000? That's a slap in the face.
Ma'am.
And whoever came up with that idea need to take it and shove it.
It's disgusting.
Yes, ma'am.
It's disgusting. How they try to buy us off.
Right. That's what they know. Money. Money is their guide. That's why it's got the guide we trust. They figure we throw money at them and that's it. You know, then they'll settle back down. But no, this is never going to stop. I don't plan to leave this planet until we are liberated. That's me. I'm dedicated to this. I'm not trying to live. And as they say, you know, you've seen the MSNBC little reports on the reports they've done on Grandmaster Jay by any means necessary. You know, we want violence to be the last, you know, resource, but we are down for that. If it comes to that, if you continue to push us, we're not going to keep being shot down in the streets. We're going to have to do something, even if it's whatever it is, whatever. I'm just saying, we're trying to do it. Like you said, you're going through the proper procedures and proper channels. We're using all international laws that's available to us. So there should be no reason why this can't happen unless they just downright put their foot down and come at us. And that's what we're building for on the NFAC side, the Black Panther side, the UEP, the Fred Hamptons, and all these different organizations, Forever Family. That's what we're doing on this side. We're getting ready for anything that happens. So we have to be prepared for anything, but we're doing it the right way by using the law. And, you know, we're going nonviolent into it, but we are going to defend ourselves. That's where we stand.
And Brother Daniel, and let me reiterate this as well. We have rights that fall up under those, and I always try to tell my audience about what laws we stand on. So I'm going to reiterate those laws, and if they want to take out a pen or a pencil, take it out and jot these laws down, these conventions that apply to us. The first convention that applies to the situation of U.S. Afro-descendants is the Article 1 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which is the right to self-determination. The right to self-determination means that we self-identify. And we self-identify as indigenous. Indigenous is a status. That means we were here before the settler government came here and erected their institutions and their constitutions on top of the people who are already here. That's number one. Number two, we have a right to self-determination under the ILO 169 agreement. Article 1, Paragraph 1, which says you have a right to self-identify and the right to self-determination. We have a right, a non-derogable right up under Just Coogan's right up under the 1960s Decolonization Convention. Okay? We have up under the 4th Geneva Convention the right
to self-determination.
All of these things apply to us, so nothing that you're doing is illegal. My concern is that we know we're in a hostile state, okay? And when you're in a hostile state, we have to be careful because they have no interest in being diplomatic. They will use any little thing as a pretext to do something as far as encamp, and they have done it. They did it in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they interned the entire black population, and they were not initiated that confrontation. That's my only concern.
Yes.
I am in agreement with you and Brother Ramzu. If there's any way that I can support you, you know I will. I also know for a fact national liberation status needs to be declared. It needs to be formally declared. We put people on notice, but it also needs to be declared. Also, we need a plebiscite vote. So some kind of way we need to do a formal withdrawal of consent to the relationship with the United States. We're not giving up our citizenship. We're giving up the predatory relationship. Because I'll tell you why. We should have been treated the same way the Native Americans were treated, with some form of autonomy. We were treated that way after slavery. But after Lincoln died, all of those gains were rescinded. So no one should be talking about reparations without talking about liberation first.
Liberation,
you can't just
jump from
liberation straight to compensation. You got to liberate us first. And $25,000 ain't liberating nobody. They can take that as
because that's going to be spent. It's going to be spent right back into their monetary system. So what they're giving you, you're giving it right back to them.
Thank you.
You're giving it right back.
They know this. They know this. This is
yes.
And they know this. They perpetuate the system on purpose. And we, not knowing our worth or our value, we allow it. See, one thing I'm learning is that Black America doesn't know our value. We don't know our worth. It's as Sister Aminah said, it's why we allow sex trafficking to go on. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but we allow this. We allow. We can get mad and point the finger at the United States all we like. And yes, they're hostile because an abusive spouse is going to continue to be abusive, will kill you to keep you. An abusive spouse will kill you to keep you. And so that's what we are dealing with. It's abusive relationship. And you've said that many times, Sister Porter. But people don't look at the relationship that Black America has with the United States as an abusive relationship. They don't see that, nor does any spouse who's in an abusive relationship. She cannot see, or he, in the case of the matter, cannot see that him being abused. They think the person is going to take care of them. They depend on them completely. Self-determination means self-sufficiency, and that's what I love about this program. I thank you so much, Ms. Elena Porter, for bringing this conversation to light. I yield the floor.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to chime in and share? Or the sister from Virginia, what's going on in your areas? Are you all having that discussion about reparations and self-determination in Virginia?
I have not heard of any talk about that other than what I see in the news, what's happening in these other cities. I did have my cousin who invited me to this call has been telling me about this over the months, for maybe the past year. He's been talking about, you know, whenever he hears about it. But I don't see a great movement in this particular area in Virginia.
Okay. I see. And
what area? Excuse me for cutting in. What area are you in Virginia?
We're in South Boston, Virginia, which is about 2 hours
from
Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, I know exactly where it's at. Over the off of 29. I know where it's at. Yeah. Okay, I was just wondering because we do have people that comes on our calls and our Zoom meetings that's in Virginia area, but they're more around like the Richmond area and Fredericksburg and down near the shore, you know, Chesapeake, Virginia, Norfolk area. But we do have some from South Boston, so they're in South Boston. So, and to say that with the same this, if you go to the IUnite page, if you go to the page, IUnite or either, Reset, WorldReset.money, you will find it's on their page on there, a link on there where you can connect with people in your area. Or if you sign up, you'll start getting emails to show when we're going to have the Zoom calls, and you'll see on there where you can link with people in the Virginia area or in Pennsylvania and Delaware, and we have our own section set up. So you will be able to find them there. You'll be able to find the people that's there. They might be participating in our movement, but Sister Elena and what we're doing here, we're all working together, so it'll cross over, you know, through everything.
Right.
That's one thing we try to do. We try to cross over because I got this link from Brother Devin West. Devin tried it to me because I didn't notice it when Sissy Lane, and I apologize for not noticing it, but he shot it to me and made sure I seen it. As soon as he shot it to me, I got right on the call. He's with IUnite. He's with us, but, you know, we're universal. We're not, we don't care. I will work with anybody willing to work to free our people.
That's right.
As long as
that's
they're
right.
headed in that direction and not just being figureheads in a leadership position, but not leading the people to freedom and self-determination. If you're not headed towards self-determination, I'm not going to be involved with you. But if I know you're definitely pushing that way, that's your topic, that's, you know, your subject matter, then I'm in. I'm going to push with you. But so we're all working together. That's how that works.
That's right.
That's how I work anyway.
And Brother Daniel, the machine that we're working on is the National Liberation Movement. And it's just what it is. We're moving towards nationhood. There's some preliminary things we got to do, like educating the population. We got to put some data on a local level in all of these counties, because you see how they're making a fool out of people. $25,000 for some reparations, that's a slap in the face. What kind of work can you do with $25,000? That ain't no money. And then reparations is not going to look like that. The first thing of reparations or repair is to restore our liberation. Liberate us. Give us our autonomy. We want our own land. We want to control the areas where we're the majority population. Liberate us. We want our own policing. We don't need you policing us. You've been policing us for 400 years. Let us go. Let us go. Willingly let us go.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Because we're tired. I mean, the bottom line is we're tired. Now, I don't advocate violence. I want to be perfectly clear. I'm not a violent person, and I don't advocate violence. But I damn sure will respond to people who are being violent towards me. And that's the position we have to take, and that's the way we're going to have to articulate it. These are the conversations that we're going to have. And we need to be in front of those cameras. Brother Ramzu need to be calling some press conferences before you have the event. It needs to be press conferences so we can lay out the argument in front of the media so nobody can twist his words. And I'm going to invite Brother Ramzu on the show. I'm trying to build a relationship with some, with some people internationally and people who are in our same condition. I had the Sahrawi tribe on last week or even the week before last. They're in the same condition. Now, they are a little bit hesitant about tying themselves to our fight because, you know, maybe they think they can, Uncle Joe up in there got his little wallet out. Maybe they think he's their saving grace. I don't know. But here's the thing. We are going to have to partner with other colonized people. We have West Papua New Guinea over in the Pacific that are being murdered in droves. They're black people just like we are who got their right
and
to self-determination.
And it is atrocious what they're doing to those people. I have clippings of news clippings because I follow international news. It is atrocious what they are doing to those black people over there.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to tell you something. And I want to be perfectly clear about my position with the United Nations. The United Nations has a lot of flowery language, but when we look at their actions towards Haiti, towards Papua New Guinea, and we look at what happened in Haiti, and we also take a look over in Sri Lanka, how those black people were allowed to die on their watch, and how right now Haiti is being colonized. Haiti has been recolonized over and over again, and they have natural resources that have not even been tapped into. But yet those babies are there, mud pies, and the black caucus go along with it. Negroes in high places go along with it, okay? We have to have a grassroots movement to also embrace other colonized people like the Haitians. This is what gets me as well, too. How can I jump over Haiti and go way to Africa, and Haiti's right down 90 miles away from Florida, and we have not embraced our people there? When Haiti won its freedom, they opened the doors for black America. Haiti should be our natural ally. We should be looking at resettling and also repatriating to Haiti because Haiti opens its doors to us first. So why are we not building alliances and building relationships with the people of Haiti? Why is it we got to jump all the way from the Americas talking about a homeland in Africa when Haiti opened its doors when we were slaves to it? And with that, I yield the floor.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we need to embrace everyone. But like you said, we started using Africa as the base of relationships when Haiti is just 95 miles off the coast of Florida. You're exactly right. That's what we need to be actually looking. The closer we are, the more effective we can be. But we can get there easier, you know, more efficiently. So yes, you're correct in that, in that aspect. But like I said, wherever it takes, I'm willing to go to get this done.
That's right. That's right.
And I yield.
That's right. That's right. So, Brother Daniel, do you have any affiliations in Arizona?
We have some people from Phoenix. We have some call-ins from Phoenix. Brother Ramsey has the actual. He can look in the system and see exactly who we have, but we do. And because I go through Phoenix quite regularly and through Arizona quite a bit, so that wouldn't be a problem to try to make some alliances there, personal alliances. I'm saying so that wouldn't be such a hard sell. So yes, that is possible. That's very possible. Okay.
Because we have a sex trafficking ring there. But I don't want my sister to try to go and fight this thing and put herself in harm's way with her employment and also in harm's way, period.
Yes.
Trying to don't have any allies on the ground there. You know.
Yes, I definitely understand.
I want her to build a support team first, then go out and do what she wants to do in the community in terms of that situation. But the sex trafficking thing involves a lot of high-up people. It involves entertainers. It involves politicians, teachers, preachers. This thing is big. So you're going to need some allies when you deal with that sex trafficking issue. Going to need some allies.
Okay, well, I know that back to bringing the NAAC back in, I know they did a formation in Phoenix the same time they were at Stone Mountain. So they had approximately 1,500 militia troops out there at the same time. So you have them there. I believe they definitely have some out there in Phoenix, in the Arizona area. So that'd be a good place to start. Because I know you have access to certain people. We're not no names, but maybe, we can utilize that.
Okay. Brother Daniel, I'm sorry.
Will do.
To off. I want to can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I hate to cut you off on this, but I need to tell you something. You need to go into that conversation with him, Ginger. What did you say, sister?
Yes.
Sister Lily? Did we lose her?
We made it, but she's mentioned that we need to go into that conversation with him gingerly, as far as watching this conversation that said because of the situation he's in. But I wasn't necessarily talking about him. There's other members, we can you might be able to link with to communicate with, on that aspect.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Well, brother Daniel, I'm gonna try to get myself up through there. I'm gonna definitely try to make it because anywhere anybody talking about self determination, Elena needs to be there. So
yes, ma'am. You have the knowledge. You have the paperwork. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that. Right. Yes. So, and that's what it takes, it takes someone knowledgeable, someone who's actually boots on the ground, as we always say, someone who's in the mix, who's in the people's face, the international community, that's in their faces where they can see that, look, we're not playing, this is serious, we're doing our part, now it's time for you to do your part, the UN, Ukraine, the international courts, this, and all that, and that. Let's see, show me, stop talking to me and show me. Stop talking to me and show me,
That's right.
They're just doing a lot of talk. Like you said, flowery words, that they're using because of who they are, but we don't see the no action behind it, and that's what's wrong. There's never any action. Everybody's scared of the big bad wolf. Well, I'm not afraid of him. It's time.
That's right. And now's the time, Brother Daniel. We have been in the same predicament for almost 500 years or more. We have not given, we're not giving this generation anything. The least we can leave them with is self-determination and autonomy, a way of start. Our parents left us with nothing. We got to be real. I'm talking about politically. They gave us what they could in terms of nurturing us, but they left us raw, okay, politically. Parents have a political responsibility, too. And in the political situation we've been left with, intergenerational poverty, intergenerational torture, intergenerational human rights abuses. Will this be the year when the buck stops? Will it stop with us in 2021? I think it will. But we got to build capacity. We got to keep doing what we're doing. We got to keep registering those people. We got to support Brother Ramsu and what he's doing. A lot of people don't like what he's saying because he's cold-blooded and he ain't taking no prisoners when he say what he's saying. But nobody can call him a lie. He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth.
Exactly.
Like or not. Okay? That's right. Brother Jay, our other tip of the spear. He's telling the truth as well, whether we like it or not. A lot of people don't like him because of the what he represents. But we got to face the truth. We're not in the best conditions. We're not doing well over here. Our children are going to be left at the doorstep of what happened in Nazi Germany. We don't know how close we came to that while Trump was in the White House.
Exactly.
We don't know how
that's right.
That. And look at what they did.
Because he was sure pushing for it.
Yeah, he was pushing forward. And he was pushing forward. He was serious.
Yeah, and he was rallying up all the premises, all the hate groups. He was getting them all lined up, you know, to act on whatever unknown instructions that he had given them that we don't even know nothing about. We don't know what communications he was having with them people, you know. So, you know, we have to be very careful. We better get this thing going. We got to stand strong for our liberation.
That's right. And we got to be clear on this reparations piece as well. That's why we've got to get more people trained on a county level, in these parishes, in these cities, and in these states. Because when you're talking about reparations, anybody that jumps over liberation and straight to compensation, and then you jump on compensation, you're talking about pennies, we got a problem.
Yes. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. You know, how could you even? I mean, see, $25,000, you couldn't buy a car with it, and if you did, you don't buy one. You can't buy a house with it. You can put a down payment on a house and still have to pay the balance of the mortgage. You know, we're not supposed to have all of this stuff. Is supposed to be basically now given to us because, you know, like they say, we always want them to give us something. Well, you owe it to us. You know, we need education, we need medical, we need psychological, we need all that different types of reparation. That's repair. It's not just about money. It's about repair. And the first way to repair is to give us our own, like you said, our independent status back, because that's what we had before you came here. That's what we were.
Right.
We were independent.
Right.
We had our own government, you know? Shucks.
That's right. That's right, Brother Daniel. And reparations is not going to come in the form of just a check. And this is how I look at reparations for each family. Each family should have $50,000 clear money, each person over 18 that they can play with. $50,000 off the top for your pain and suffering. You get a $175,000 voucher to go buy you some land, and buy you a house in our protected areas that we control. In those protected areas, we should be tied to the Inter-American Bank, have our economy tied outside of the jurisdiction of the United States. That way, if anything, what happens in that White House, it won't affect us. Okay.
Right, and we and also we're not using Federal Reserve notes.
Oh no!
We don't even want to use our money. No.
No, we could get jiggy and have our own digital money. We can have get jiggy.
I have I can't say nothing, but yeah, you're right. You're right. We're headed that way right now. We've been making some big contacts.
We can get out. Listen, we can get real jiggy, okay? Technology transfer, land, oil, okay? We can recoup. They can recoup the land in each one of these counties that they took from us. Where if you took so many acres of land for black people, then guess what? Go there and open up those federal land reserves and come clean with the land that you took. Because that's where black people's land is, in these federal reserves that they took. Just like with the Gullah Geechee.
Not only that.
They can't even fish.
Not only that, you know, what's in these Federal Reserve protected lands and state parks and federal parks, those are monuments in there that they don't want the people to see that identifies us as being indigenous. That's what's in there. That's why they, you know, state parks, you go to state parks, there's always a restricted area. Always, it's, I believe, and I talked to, right, when we were talking on the phone with, who was the scholar, the teacher we were talking with? Dr. Clive Anderson. Anderson.
Dr. Clive Winters.
Yes, and like he agreed with me, he said, you're probably right. You know, when you think about that, why would those areas be restricted when there's just more land and trees? That would be perfect. And we have all the lumber we want, trees for building houses to do whatever. We see everything is out there. There's billions of acres, not millions, billions with a B of acres out there that we could be off away from any of these people. And everything's out there. Water's out there. There's everything is out there that we would need. I'm just, you know, giving an example of the protected lands and what's in there. Like you said, that's our lands. This is why everything is ours. You know, but y'all keep what y'all got. We can work with things, what you have in our major cities. We got these black cities, Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, Charleston, South Carolina. All across Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, places in Florida. We got everywhere I travel. I see big black communities.
And you know what, Brother Daniel? It's not that we don't want to live amongst white people and we hate white people and we want to be separatists. No, we want to be the administrators of that area. We want to control our own tax dollars. We want our own autonomy. We want a legal and a political and an economic partition so we can be self-sufficient. Everybody benefits off of our movements, off of our sweat, off of our tears, except for us. All the gains that was made in the civil rights era, because we are considered in that same slot as a simple minority, we don't have anything because it has to be divvied up amongst other groups, which I don't have a problem, but we need our resources for ourselves first. Then what surplus we have, if we want to share it, we can do it that way. But the current political situation that we're in is parasitical. And we're going to have to be the ones to remove ourselves from that relationship. But before we can do that, we have to have conversations on a county, local, and state state level with our people and inform them about their human rights. The talking point of this reparations case up in Illinois is a good study case because it shows a lack of knowledge in international law and it shows a lack of knowledge of politics and how things are supposed to work in terms of a colonized people like ourselves. How can you jump over liberation and go straight to $25,000 in fucking compensation when you haven't had a conversation about putting a charter on the local level, a human rights charter, where our land rights could be asserted, where our indigenous status could be asserted? If the immigrants
and where did
have,
you get that number from? The number
exactly.
$25,000. Where
exactly.
Did it come from?
Exactly. You know? And who's agreeing to this? Who? What new fool
right.
is agreeing to this? You know. But my biggest
fear is
and
is this government funded or is it going to be state funded? Who is the money coming from? That's awesome. Another question.
That's right. That's right.
And is there other countries involved that also
that's
benefit?
Right.
Or is this just the United States?
That's right.
All of that comes into play.
That's right. So, you know, here's the deal. We're going to have some serious political discussions. I'm going to keep this platform going as long as I possibly can. Right now, I'm in the process of trying to do the application with UNCTAD, reach out to various UN agencies to get assistance, because we need assistance. We got a whole population of people. We got to inform them of their rights. Okay?
Yes.
So we have politicians who don't even know. Even I respect Dr. Claude Anderson, but I don't hear him talking about no international human rights law. Why is that?
Exactly.
What's wrong with that picture?
Exactly.
We want to go and control all these things. The United States is our rights are not even judicable in the United States. We cannot assert the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights because the United States has reservations, understandings, and declarations on where we can't even use it to assert our rights.
Exactly.
Our rights are not judicable here. We've exhausted all remedy. The only other step that we need to take is go to Congress and give them an opportunity to go ahead and cut us that $59 trillion check. And recognize our nation and give them 21 days to do it. They don't do it in 21 days, we take it to the international arena and we'll see you. That's how we're going to have to handle the procedural part of it. That's the only missing link that we got. That's the only thing. We need to either put legislation on the table or call a meeting with the Senate, tell them what we want. Ask them to come to the table. They don't come to the table. Good. We've exhausted all remedies. We'll see you later. Bye. We'll see you at the end.
That's right.
That's what we're going to have to do. That's going to have to be the procedure. But meanwhile, we have to organize the people. And you and Brother Ramsu has done a wonderful job doing that. I really admire what you all are doing up in Detroit, and I appreciate you, Brother Daniel, and I appreciate Brother Ramsu.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate y'all.
It may not feel like it. It may not feel like it, but we're going to win. This is going to
No doubt. One way or the other.
We're going to win.
One way or the other, ma'am.
Is there anyone else who's on the call that would like to chime in? Y'all are mighty quiet. Is there anyone else who would like to chime in that's on the call?
Sorry.
Who can I pick on now? Sister Aminata, are you still there? Sister Aminata? Sister Lily? Oh, man, I don't know what happened to them. They must have been
everybody?
Well, I see everybody, but I tell you what, Brother Daniel, I see their phone numbers, but I don't hear them.
Right, I don't hear them either.
Yeah, and that's not like Sister Liddy, so it's no telling. Sometimes this Blog Talk Radio show, it freezes up. And then I have so many problems with the radio show. Sometimes if I'm in a Zoom call, I have issues as well. But you know what? We're going to keep pressing on. There's one more thing, too, that, Brother Daniel, that I want to focus on, and we're going to focus on in the next week to come, is on property rights. Because what you and Brother Ramzu are doing is you're asserting those property rights that we were excluded from.
Yes. And I wanted to ask you about that. Now, when the property rights, you said we need to, right now, you said we need to put them, you mentioned about property rights. We need to declare our property rights, the reclamation of property.
Yeah, we need to, we need to assert them some kind of way. We need to assert them.
Okay.
We need to file a property right claim for the people up there.
And that's done how? I'm not familiar with that, you know, how that would work. You know, how to go about that.
Okay. Well,
you know, just being honest, you know, I mean, because that's...
Yeah. Well, what needs to happen is, we need to track, and somebody needs, even if it's just a Freedom of Information Act, to see, track the, like, go to, like, the building and zoning meetings or have any minutes for meetings when they're talking about exercising eminent domain. We need to see how that property transferred, how black people got their land taken from their eminent domain, running in roads, and doing selective annexing and underbounding. Selective annexing is where they take your tax dollars, and you're the majority of the population, and use it to fund the others.
Their project.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So we need to deal with that.
Okay.
You got to pull the evidence of that and then draw up a petition. You could do a petition or even file a complaint in that Inter-American Court. The Afro-descendants have filed complaints about their property rights, so you can look at that, look at one of those cases as a model for dispossession, and that's how it would come.
Right.
You want to prove that you've been displaced and your property is dispossessed.
Right. Okay.
That needs to be asserted.
Right. Okay. Now, being that I'm a new resident, it doesn't matter. It's because it's our people that has lost. So I can file under our people if they have other people. Right. It's not like I had to live there when that.
You would do it up under the people of Detroit versus. Or the people of Highland Park, or whoever, whatever the name of the people of Detroit is that you're fighting on behalf, you will file a petition on their behalf against that municipality.
Okay. Okay,
I understand. And you need to give, and you also need to give notice. It needs to be a due notice because. My biggest fear, and I'm not an attorney, and that's why I'm saying my biggest fear is procedurally they'll look at it as you all are doing squatting. But you don't want to give them the opportunity to say you're squatting. You need to keep your argument consistent, is that we were displaced. We was dispossessed of our property and land rights. And we want our property to be compensated for the property that was taken, selective underbounding and annexing. There's a wonderful document called Mapped Out. I want you to write this down and pull that document.
Okay, called Mapped Out?
Mapped Out.
Okay.
And read that document. And then you'll have an understanding of what happened to Highland Park.
Okay. Mapped out. I got you.
Mapped out. What they do is they selectively connect a municipality, or they will selectively move those zip codes back and forth where you're excluded from water, where you're excluded from sewage, you're excluded from trash pickup, yet your tax dollars done paid for it. And use that money, your tax dollars, to develop other ethnicities areas. Meanwhile, you ain't got no water. Meanwhile, you ain't got no place for your sewage to go. Meanwhile, you paying all those jacked up taxes, and your next step is gentrification. That's how it is for session.
Okay.
And the model you would look at is the Afro descendants in Colombia and the Palenques in Brazil. Those same rules apply to them, apply to us.
Okay.
But you're going to have to pull some Freedom of Information Act and pull the meeting minutes from when you want to go back before the federal government took over Highland Park, after they took over Highland Park, how the land and the property has changed hands. That's how in international law they violated those people up there's territorial integrity by taking that land and putting other nationalities in that area.
Okay, that goes for Detroit also. That goes for the whole area there, you know, because they're still doing it right now.
Not only Detroit, but it goes not only Detroit, it's everywhere. Everywhere in every
county. Yes, ma'am.
But again, pull that, and anybody that's on the line that's interested in or that's involved in activism in your area, pull this article called Mapped Out. Very good document. Mapped Out. It talks about selective annexing and underbounding and how black people were dispossessed of their land.
Yes. That's good. And like you said, go back to before it changed hands and after it changed, see how it changed, who made the decisions, what laws they tried to use, what laws they used, and who benefited from it and how they benefited. Even that goes to different organizations and different political entities, you know, as far as that goes. I'm sure that's the way we would go about it. Okay. Are you still there, sister Elena? Hello. I think I lost you. Hello. I think we just lost sister Elena. Oh, there you are. You're back. Anyone up there besides me?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is Sister Terry in Virginia. There's bad thunderstorms coming through this area. I didn't know if anything was like that was going on in the other states, but it was kind of...
Oh, yeah, it's a bad thunderstorm right here, right
yeah,
now.
Sure.
It's a bad thunderstorm.
I didn't even notice. I saw the things were shaking outside, but I didn't realize how dark it got out there. And I hope that would happen to some of the other people. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, what area are you in? You're in the Virginia area?
No, I'm in Virginia, yeah. It sounds like y'all might be in a different area than me, but yeah, it's bad.
I'm in Delaware right now. I'm in Delaware, but it got dark right here right quick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a good 200 miles away from you, but we're having thunderstorms right now.
Wow. It was some good information presented tonight. Thank you for... presenting the information. I was looking at the map out thing while she was talking just then. But I don't know. I might have to end the call in a minute here. But anyway, yeah, I'm good for right now, it looks like.
Okay. Sissy Raina, she's been to our movements and up in Detroit. She's been there with us. And, you know, like I said, we're a family. This is one family. Pushing for one goal, and that's everyone that's involved, you know, with moving in that direction, that's who I'm with you, so, you know, you may not, you know, we, We got to do it. I can't. I just, matter of fact, I just got noticed today that I got another brand new, my third grandchild is about to be born. So now, you know, these are my first grandchildren, and I can't leave. I can't leave this to them. Mm-hmm. I can't leave this to them. Hold on 1 second, Sissy Lane. If you're still there, everyone, hold on. I'll be right back.
By doxing one of the workers, she was threatened. Someone called and said, you should die. And a security officer who was there for 35 years, but an unblemished record, was compelled to leave, all because this young student wanted to become the next racial martyr and brought false charges of racism against these workers.
Yeah, janitor and a cafeteria employee at Smith College, who I'm sure make less
and a security
and a security guard, who I'm sure make less than the annual tuition at Smith College. So Bob, you and 40 some odd other black intellectuals have written a letter to Smith College because the president of that university has introduced anti-bias training to the entire university faculty and curriculum. What is it you have said in your letter that you want to see in response to this anti-bias training?
Okay, I'm back. You back, Sissy Elena?
Okay, yes, I'm here.
I guess we might be the only two left on here.
Oh, okay.
I don't hear anyone else. And I believe she's left everyone unmuted. Well, you could chime in yourself, you know. I guess, but what we're doing in Detroit is, like I said, we have a different website. Can you go to the website that we mentioned, iunite.app or worldreset.money? That's the two websites. They have all the information you need in there. And then we have another one. I'm trying to think of, we have so many websites. We even have reparationsbank.com is another one of them, and Detroit Free Housing Program is another one, and we have another one, Free Homes. Got something. They're all. We have a ton of them. We have like five websites that we're operating to try to inform the people. And we have over 100 and some thousand people, 120 some odd thousand people already signed. So we're moving. We're definitely moving.
Okay, right. I'm on the
iUnite
site now. Thank you.
Okay, then tell me what you need to know. If you see anything that you don't understand, that's our website.
My cousin that invited me, looks like he's texting me now. I don't know what he wants, but anyway, he's been telling me about the movement. Okay,
good. That's great. Yeah, that's because word of mouth is what we have, because, you know, national news is not going to do anything for us. You know, actually, what they did us a disservice. They put out a news broadcast that we were scammed. Yes, sir.
Hello, I don't mean to interrupt. Elena told me to tell y'all she got knocked out. She got knocked out the air, okay?
Okay, so she cannot, and she's evidently, she cannot get back in. Okay. That's fine. That's what we figured. Sister Lily also, she,
guys,
I think she got pushed out
in.
Too.
I just got back in.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Man.
The timing is everything. Yeah, they are. I'm even Dr. Who was it? Oh, the Black Hero, Joe Brown. He said they do the same thing to him. He'd be having these black talks, and all of a sudden, it's his program. He's running, just like Susan Elena. Knock him off, he can't get back in. Sometimes he has to use another phone to get back in. It won't let him back in on his computer. So, you know, they know, and they're getting desperate. So that's why we have to move diligently. And, you know, with determination, because they're going to start trying to do more and more. Every day, the closer we get the harder they're going to come, you know, at us with their trying to interfere with our technology, because it's their technology. So we're using their systems, you know, so that's an issue right there. We need to get up off of their systems, and that's what we're trying to do is build our own, which
that's
is
right.
It's coming along, but, you know, it takes time.
It takes time, and then you're dealing with a population that's been mentally, we've been subjected to mental abuse as well. Some of us can't
yes.
even fathom being free.
Exactly, and that's a problem. They don't believe it's possible, you know, because they've been, like you said, they've been abused so long for so long that, you know, when you present something like this to them, you know, a lot of people, they say directly to our face, man, y'all crazy. They ain't going to let us do that. They ain't not going to let us do that. You know, well, and that's what their words are, but see, that's where they make their mistake. It's not what they allow us to do. It's what we can do by law and what we have to do, because only we can do this. Only we will do this. No one's going to ever do it for us.
That's right.
No
that's
one's
right.
ever going to do it for us.
That's right, Brother Daniel. And I'm going to tell you something, too, Brother Daniel. It's a beautiful thing that you all are doing in Detroit. It's a very beautiful thing.
Yes.
And it's needed. Once Detroit is liberated, that's the blueprint for Baltimore.
Yes.
It's the blueprint for Atlanta. It's the blueprint for all of these cities where we're the majority population and we're excluded from our own human capital, wealth, and resources. I urge, and next week, if anyone wants to talk about that document mapped out, we can meet again here on Sunday, and we'll talk about that document, and we'll talk about selective annexing and underbounding. And that way, people will understand what you all are doing, because they can take a narrative and twist it and turn it and make them look like the victims and we look like the oppressors. And that's what the media has done. We got to, and I take a lot of time and tell people about what's going on and what references to look at, because our people has been politically manipulated because we don't know international law and we don't know what our rights are. That's why these people have gotten away with murder. I will share this.
Literally.
We're gonna have some challenges. But now is the time for us to do what we need to do. Regardless of those challenges, we got to be willing to make sacrifices, and we also have to be willing to put aside our differences. One of the things that concerned me is with our leadership is that everybody has this ego. This person is better than this person. That way is better. No, we're all wanting to achieve the same goal. So we have to find something to unify under. And that should be self-determination. If we liberate ourselves, we can make all the political configurations we want. But as long as we're in this parasitical relationship, we're in a lose-lose situation, and we're setting this next generation up for genocide. That grandbaby you're getting ready to bring into the world, I have a grandbaby that's ready to be born in April as well.
Yes.
We're setting them up for genocide if we continue to live under integration. We don't control anything.
Yes.
We don't control our own institutions. This is unacceptable, very unacceptable, very unacceptable. Is there anyone else on the call who would like to chime in before we end the call? Brother Lonnie, do you have anything you would like to share with us? How are you there? Are you safe, and do you feel safe?
Yeah, I'm good. I wanted to let everybody know that on March 30th at Emory University, they're having, you know, the McGirt ruling about the Indian, you know, federal jurisdiction in Indian country in Oklahoma. they having a panel discussion about how that affects the freedmen. So Atlanta, that'll be good, especially if you chime in on that. You can I sent you a link to it, and you can be on the Zoom conference, and it's May 30th. That's the day for it.
Thank you so much, Brother Lonnie, and thank you for all that you do. Thank you, thank you. And Brother Daniel, you and Ramsey need to be on that call, too.
Yes. He says the 30th. That's Tuesday, right? What's the day? Raise the 29th? That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, you say March 30th?
Yeah, March 30th, Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday. Could you transfer that link to me?
What's your name on Facebook?
Kobe, KOBI, X, capital ASE.
XASE?
Yes. You should see a picture. I should have on a black beret with a "Broke Folks Don't Vote" banner around my picture.
Okay. All right.
Peace. And then we'll do a friend request, and we'll all link up. This is how you network. Each one teach one.
That's right. And you're gonna love Brother Lonnie. Brother Lonnie is just like you and Rams, who's very direct and straightforward.
There you go. That's it already.
Yes,
there
indeed.
You go.
And Brother Lonnie is into music as well. He has I call it my little anthem that I bump to in my car called Trouble. And he's very good at his craft. So I'm loving it.
Thank you. I had to let him know that.
Oh yeah.
Yes, that's great.
Well, is there anyone else, sister from Virginia? Do you have any closing words for us? And I really appreciate you joining us. I hope you would come back next week and be prepared to talk about that document mapped out. And I hope you'll be joining us soon. You know, you're welcome, and I know you're quiet and you're just a little bit shy and just getting to know us, but we cut up every Sunday, don't we, Brother Dave?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do.
Thank you for welcoming to the talk show and everything. My cousin actually got me on the link and everything so I could join y'all tonight. I'm just a little tired because, understand, I just came back from a week of celebrating Passover, and that was down in South Carolina. So when I came and joined this call, I literally had just finished the four-hour trip from getting back and then jumped right on the call. So I have had a busy week and a great week and just an outstanding week and well rested and everything, though, really. A lot of feasting and everything going on. But I was, you know, really appreciative of the information. I've already gone to the Mapped Out website, and I've gone to the iUnite. I've already been to both of them, so they're, you know, saved in my browser where I can revisit them. And I see my cousin has tried to text me a couple times since I've been on this call, so I guess he wants to discuss some more things.
Now, What's your cousin's name?
Charles Evans. That's Chaz.
Oh, okay, Chaz. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us. Like I said, we're here every Sunday, and we get on here. We cut up sometime, and honey, sometime we just really go in. But we was nice tonight. We were real nice. So.
I thought you were gonna be going a couple times, Sister Atlanta, but you have back.
I'm trying to behave because, like I said, I think it was like two weeks ago, we had the ambassador on, and we're going to be bringing on more ambassadors and reaching out. There's one person that I reached out to. He's a well-known author and an anti-imperialist because we got to build some relationships, international relationships. And we don't want these people to say, oh, these just some radical complaining Negroes. We're more than that. And we want people to take us seriously, and we want allies. We're not going to
We're not just radical complaining Negroes. We're radical complaining Negroes on the move.
Tell everybody, damn.
Yeah, we got boots on the ground ready to go up this butt if we don't do that.
Well, look, now, wait a minute. Let me rescind that. We don't want everyone to think that we're not approachable. We are approachable.
Right.
Okay? So we must keep our composure. Okay?
Yes.
Now, within the next week, I'm going to invite you all to another call on a Saturday. And I'm hoping to get this author.
Okay.
He's written some very good work. I put one of his videos in the – his name is Eve Ingalls, and he's from Canada. This person is wonderful. I love his work. He's written a book about colonialism. He's been working – his organization has been working working with Haiti about the situation, the occupation there. So hopefully we can bring him on, and we're going to be inviting more guests that are anti-imperialist because we need to build relationships with them. If the United Nations is not willing to assist us, then maybe we should set up our own, you know, look for alternatives. So.
Yes.
You know, that's something else that we're going to have a discussion about. And, Brother Dan, you keep me updated on what's going on in Detroit, and I'll keep you updated on some of the things that we're doing. I'm going to close out the show. I appreciate everyone who joined us tonight. I appreciate you spending time with us every week. Please join us next Sunday around 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and we're going to be discussing the article mapped out. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will be closing out with Brother Lonnie's his single, Trouble. Good night.
Good night. Good night, sister.
Trouble from my girl, it won't let me be. Trouble on my mind, it won't let me breathe. Trouble on my mind all the time. on the job. Trouble from my girl, it won't let me be. Trouble on my man, it won't let me breathe.
Trouble on my mind all the time.
I got trouble on my mind.
Trouble on my mind all the time.
I got trouble on my mind.
Stand there. I have no more use for you. I know you can easily find you another friend. Stand there.
Oh, Junior, bring my cell phone. Brother, you see my cell. Baby will not really go home. You, I didn't kick you out. I got kicked out myself. Yeah. Yeah, they took it over. It's all right. I found it then. But I'm going to keep talking about the song with bitches every chance I get. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, I need to see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Uh-huh.